Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, where Jesus says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Beginning at the moment of conception, everyone begins a journey through this life. And thanks to our ancient ancestor, Adam, and his disobedience in the Garden of Eden, everyone's journey will be sinful. And it'll most especially be burdensome and difficult. Your journey will require patience and endurance because no one gets a free ride. No one gets an easy path, regardless of whether you are a fetus, a child, a teenager, adult, or even old age. It doesn't matter, rich or poor, male or female, this life, this path to your destination, is going to be arduous. So on your personal journey, what's your destination? In our gospel text this morning, Jesus' destination is Jerusalem. His destination is to be stricken and smitten by God, being afflicted and put to death on a bloody cross. It's a journey that requires patience and endurance. Along his journey, he taught the people and he performed miracles along the way. And in our gospel text this morning, most recently, he's been teaching the crowds about that day when everyone will arrive at their final destination. What's your destination? Ultimately, there are only two destinations for all mankind. One is eternal death and damnation. The other is eternal life, where you will recline at the table at the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. The man in our gospel text asked Jesus if that number of people there in heaven will be few. And perhaps at some time in your life, you have wondered that very same question. Well, the rock and rollers of the world proclaim that there is a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven. And it is most certainly true there is a wide highway to hell, packed bumper to bumper with folks on a journey to eternal death and damnation. Jesus says, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many." Do not be deceived. There is no stairway to heaven, for that path is much too wide. Jesus says, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." In our text this morning, Jesus warns all mankind, strive to enter through the narrow door. The word strive is an imperative. In the original language, it means to engage in a context, to fight and to struggle. For the Christian, it is imperative that you struggle and fight to enter by means of the narrow door. Is that your destination? Are you traveling on the wide way that leads to eternal destruction? Or are you striving to enter the kingdom of heaven through that narrow door? As Jesus often does, he doesn't answer the question that has been posed. In this case, he doesn't answer the question because the number of people who are being saved doesn't really matter. What matters is that man right there saved? What matters is, do you know the master of the house? Do you know the master, and are you struggling to enter by the narrow door? Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, what do you mean I need to strive and struggle to enter by the narrow door? I'm saved by grace. That's what we're always preaching. Or that's what you're always preaching. I'm saved by grace, not by my works. If I have to strive and struggle, that certainly must mean that I'm working on works righteousness. And grace is a free gift. Didn't God promise me forgiveness, life, and salvation in my baptism? Well, if those are your thoughts and words, you are most certainly correct. Christians are saved by grace alone through faith. Because in this earthly life, Jesus kept God's law perfectly on your behalf, and in his suffering and death, he was delivered up for your transgressions, and on the third day, he was raised for your justification. So what Jesus is talking about in our text this morning is what happens to you after the Holy Spirit has created faith within you. It was at that moment that you were regenerated. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." So what Jesus is talking about is what the Christian life looks like after you have been declared not guilty of your sin and have been made righteous for the sake of Jesus. Because, yes, salvation is yours by the grace of God alone, but now you are a new creation. The new man in Christ tries to live a holy and God-pleasing life. The Augsburg Confession states, love and good works must also follow. Good works should be done because God has commanded them and in order to exercise our faith. But I don't have to quote our Lutheran reformers because they're merely writing what Holy Scripture teaches. And we hear this in our epistle text this morning. In the book of Hebrews, it is an epistle or a sermon to the Hebrew converts. They're struggling with persecution and with sin. They're struggling with the guilt of the sins that they have committed and the shame of the sins that have been committed against them. So the writer sends them this sermon to remind them what it looks like to be a Christian. In the first verse of our text, we see the word struggle. In the original language, that word struggle is the same exact word that Jesus uses for strive in our gospel text. Struggle, strive, and fight against sin. In their suffering and their struggle against sin, we see that what they are facing is no different than what other brothers and sisters in Christ have faced all through time, including you, baptized believer. They're the same struggles of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They face the same temptations of Peter, James, and John, and all the saints of all ages. And in verse 14, the preacher exhorts the Hebrews, and he also exhorts you and me, saying, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Along your journey to your destination, you will face all sorts of trials and tribulations, some of them from outside, some of them from within. But God allows his children to be disciplined. But remember, you are saved by grace alone through faith. So strive by fixing your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. Don't wait for peace to come to you, but strive to live at peace with all those around you, while at the same time not surrendering and caving in to the accepted public and private sins and perversions of society. Strive to love your neighbor as yourself with genuine concern about their health, their welfare, and their salvation. Strive to live a holy life as You became a holy child yourself when you came to faith. For the sake of Jesus' death and resurrection, God has proclaimed you holy, and as a holy child of God, have no part in gossip, greed, idolatry, selfishness, and every sort of depravity. Because the new created man, the regenerated man in Christ, does not live that way. As you strive for peace and holiness, be prepared. Just like the Old Testament prophets and the apostles and believers of all times, you too will face persecution. You will be slandered. You will be called unloving. You will be called narrow-minded, a bigot, or even a homophobe. And at last, they will make you a social outcast because of your confession of Christ crucified for sinners. Wear that badge of suffering with honor, for you are being persecuted for the sake of Christ Jesus. So what is your destination? Using a metaphor of a feast, in our text, Jesus illustrates the day when all of mankind will reach their final destination. Entrance into the feast will come. Entrance to the feast will come through a narrow door only, which has been graciously opened since the beginning of time. However, in the text, the time has come that the Master will shut the door. And you just sang about that day in our sermon hymn. The day is surely drawing near when Jesus, God's anointed, in all his power shall appear as judge whom God appointed. Then fright shall banish idle mirth, and flames on flames shall ravage earth. As Scripture has long warned us, God's time of grace is limited. It will come to an end, and on that day, many will find themselves on the outside of the door looking in. Some will pound on the door and cry out, "Lord, open to us." Then the Master will answer, "I do not know where you come from." Those outside will argue. They'll say, "Well, but Jesus, I've heard a lot of people talk about you. Jesus, Mom took me to church every Easter, every Christmas. I went through catechism. I bet you I could still find my confirmation Bible somewhere at home." But he will say to you, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." And notice here, Jesus' words. He calls them workers of evil, workers of unrighteousness. Jesus knows their hearts. There is no faith in the righteous one of God in their unrighteous hearts. The door had been opened, but they never took advantage of the time to enter in and have true communion with the Master, to sit at the feet of the teacher and learn his word, learn of his love and his grace, and receive his many gifts. Dear beloved, you have Jesus' assurance that the Master of the house knows who you are. By faith in Jesus, that God-given gift of faith that he has planted within you, you know that your destination is the kingdom of heaven. The Master knows you, for he knit you together in your mother's womb. And from that moment on, he has provided for your every need. You were born into sin, and you still continue to sin daily, very much. But while you still were among the unrighteous, the Master gave his only begotten Son to die for you and deliver you of all your sins. You were once among the last, but for the sake of Jesus' blood, you are now among the first. The Master knows you because Jesus has reconciled you with him, and he sees you as righteous and holy. He opens the door to you and welcomes you to his holy table to be fed by word and sacrament, both here in time and there in eternity, when you too will recline with all the saints who have gone ahead at the table at the Feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Jesus is the narrow door. Strive to enter through that narrow door. Jesus' command to struggle and strive does not mean that you must by your own reason or strength gain entrance into the kingdom. Once again, you're saved by grace alone through faith in the one who has died for you. He has regenerated you and made you a new creation, the holy waters of baptism, where you were joined together with Jesus' death and resurrection. As one born anew in Christ, strive, struggle, and fight in repentance. Repentance is another gift that God has given you, and it's a work of his that he does in your heart. The struggle is produced by the Word of God when God's Word calls you to repent and trust in the one who died for you. And it, too, is a daily battle. So struggle, strive, daily drown that old Adam in those baptismal waters. Arise, that newly created man, trusting in the promises of Jesus, because he is your intercessor before the Father in heaven. As you just sang, may Christ our intercessor be, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are free with all who life inherit. When we shall see him face to face with all his saints in that blessed place which he has purchased for us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.